The great Reverend Ted Pike, been on the show with us many, many times. He is really one of the good guys out there, folks, one of the truth tellers out there. He runs the Freedom Saving Outreach Network, the National Prayer Network, which is a Christian conservative watchdog organization. His website is truthtellers.org, and get on his mailing list because it's some good, wild stuff. The Reverend Ted Pike joining us. Ted, been a long time. Great to have you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me again, Jack.
What do you think about all these senators just rolled up in this corruption scheme in Alabama? It gives you some, makes you feel good a little bit that something's being done to stop corruption.
Well, I agree. It'd be nice to go to the good old days when you could just call up the FBI and report suspicious activity without realizing that they're probably listening to you before you even call.
Yeah, you're right. Well, I called the FBI once to report potential terrorist attack coming over the border, which we had begun hearing rumors on the internet, and I wanted to make sure they were aware of this, considering I only live a few miles from the border. And they didn't want to take my name. They didn't want to take my information. I never heard from them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I called the FBI once, and I just asked, is it true that you can listen into me as a private citizen anytime you want to? And the lady there said, oh, we're basically too nice to do things like that. But she could not deny it. I pinned her down, and she had to admit, yes, they do have that right.
Right. Well, we all know what the NSA and the FBI do. It's to stop terrorism, of course, but we have seen, thanks to the Patriot Act, that all of this has been used to skirt around the Constitution and get people to incriminate themselves and go on fishing expeditions for crime, not for terrorism. But then again, who's listening to that, Ted, but you and me and our friends, unfortunately. But it is getting bigger, and we are now seeing some of the chickens coming home to roost. They tap these guys' phones, these senators and these lobbyists in Alabama, which is something, again, that I wouldn't be for. But, I mean, if you're a government official, if you're working for the government, shouldn't you be monitored somehow? I'm not saying the rest of us should be. A good case point and example is AIPAC Jane Harmon, who we found out through, NSA wiretaps, was covering up for AIPAC and Mossad espionage. And when she got caught covering it up, it was used to get her on board with the wiretapping of Americans and the H.R. 1955, I believe, which was to designate many Americans as homegrown terrorists.
Yes.
We found out later that she was motivated largely, this Democrat, because they had something on her rolling into this whole AIPAC scandal. So what do you think? I mean, should our senators, should our public officials be monitored in this capacity, or are we encroaching on their freedoms?
Well, I think there's probably a difference between an elected official who is supported by the people and is sworn on a Bible before the Constitution to uphold the laws of the land, especially the Constitution. But, of course, giving the government and the FBI and Homeland Security and so on a right to listen to people randomly at their discretion, because the ADL and the SPLC and Janet Napolitano and so on now believe that a wide spectrum of patriots and patriot organizations are potential domestic terrorists, wide open to eavesdropping from the government. That is a very, very different thing. And I've spoken out, written quite boldly, as you probably are aware, against the ADL, SPLC, the ACL, and so on, who are in bed, basically, with the Department of Homeland Security, not only Napolitano, but with Joe Lieberman, an Orthodox Jew in there, who in the Senate Homeland Security Committee, who are very frankly wanting to portray a wide spectrum of Americans as not just potential domestic terrorists, but, you know, the ADL, just about a year ago now, they sent out what they call their toxic rage report, and they said that literally millions of Americans are active conspirators now, conspirators attempting through any means possible basically to take down the Obama administration.
Right. Well, and that's, of course, well, I feel, you know, listening to you talk about the ADL, I feel defamed. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I've been defamed by the Anti-Defamation League.
It is the ultimate defamation league. Let's just take out the anti there.
the pro-defecation law, we can call it as well.
That's not very nice.
That could get me a scarlet letter, just like Rick Sanchez. Luckily, I'm not going to be fired by Jeff Rentz for saying these things, as you know. Have you been keeping up with this Rick Sanchez firing by the Communist News Network, fully embedded with CIA people? I want to play this clip for my listeners. It'll just take a second, Ted, and then that will get everybody up to speed to what we're talking about. This is CNN finally covering what did happen to Mr. Rick Sanchez, who was a freestyle reporter for their network. Here it is.
Sanchez's mixture of animation and antics made him a natural target for comedians, especially Jon Stewart.
I'm looking over here at the other side of the room now. Switch that camera over there. Look at all the guys we have over here. Over there, I'm not sure who's directing. I'm positive.
You are. Well, Sanchez must have been stewing about such slights. In the radio interview Thursday with SiriusXM host and CNN contributor Pete Dominic, Rick punched back, talking about his Hispanic heritage, and unfortunately went too far.
When they look at a guy like me, they see a guy automatically who belongs in the second tier and not the top tier. I think Jon Stewart's a bigot. That Rick Sanchez, the little Puerto Rican guy, I'll make fun of him. He's upset that someone of my ilk is at almost his level.
And then it got worse.
Stewart's a minority, as much as you are.
He, come on. How is he a rich?
Rick.
Very powerless people. I'm telling you that everybody who runs CNN is a lot like Stewart. And a lot of people who run all the other networks are a lot like Stewart. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority? Yeah.
All right, Ted, we'll be right back, folks. We'll be right back. We'll ask the question, did he go too far? Stay with us. Deadline Live will go too far, I guarantee you, in this show. The Reverend Ted Pike with us on the show today. Truthtellers.org. Sign up for his newsletter. Contribute. Ted has been a huge advocate for free speech. And, Ted, I really have to congratulate you. About 2 years ago, we worked with you and a lot of others, really getting together with people who we normally wouldn't. And we stopped the hate speech laws from invading the United States. Of course, this is always a threat to our liberty. But without people like you, I don't know if we'd stood a chance, Ted. So your work speaks for itself. I appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you so much. Actually, we did finally lose the federal hate crimes bill. Obama's support, he finally signed it a year ago. But fortunately, because of very widespread criticism, analysis, and really getting the religious right very much opposed to hate crimes legislation over the past 10 years, it's making it very difficult for the ADL, who's behind the hate bill, to actually enforce it with the kind of aggressiveness that they have been able to do under their hate laws in Canada or Germany or France, Australia, and so on.
Well, you have been commemorated and awarded many awards from the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center, which makes me love having you here. Someday I'm going to be on that list. I'll try. I'm trying. Darn it, I'm trying. Let's go back to Rick Sanchez. So CNN was under fire. They'd fired this guy. I mean, bang, that's it. Talk about hate crime speech and speech and thought crimes. But, you know, it's their network. It's a business. They have a right to be represented by the people that they want. It's still a free country. But it shows that they were trying to cover their butts here in getting on and talking about it. Of course, they had a number of people who were of the Zionist persuasion discussing this issue apart Rick Sanchez. What he said was this, and I don't think he went too far. I mean, he's just saying what most of us know and what many people in the Jewish community have already admitted. That's not the issue. The issue is not that you know, Jewish people run a good chunk of the media, or at least are the front people for these media companies. The issue is, are they using it to benefit to somebody other than Americans? Are they using it to run an agenda? And that should be the debate and the discussion. What he said was this, Ted, and I'll repeat. A lot of people who run the other networks are a lot like Stewart, intimating that they could be of the Jewish persuasion. And to imply that somehow they, the people in this country who are Jewish, are an oppressed minority, I don't know. It sounds like, you know, he's trying to level the playing field for all of us. Saying something that many people have said, again, people who are in the Jewish community have said this as well. I don't know. I don't think he went too far, but again, I have to defend CNN's right to hire and fire whoever they want.
Well, the fact of the matter is that You see, it becomes anti-Semitic when a Gentile, in this case a Latino, criticizes Jewish control of the media. But it's not anti-Semitic when the Encyclopedia Judaica, for example, which is the greatest authority on matters Jewish in the 20th century, in its articles on movies and television, very frankly states that all of the large Hollywood companies, except for United Artists, were founded and controlled by Jews. It's not anti-Semitic when the Judaica has three different articles on Leonard Goldenson, founder of ABC, with Bill Paley or Polinsky, founder of CBS, and Robert Sarnoff, the founder of NBC, has separate articles on those proudly claiming their Jewish ancestry. They're strong supporters of Israel, and they are the founders of the big three TV networks in America who dominated news broadcasting, the spigot of information, for more than a half a century. That's just Jewish history. That's Jewish culture. But if a Gentile like Sanchez makes even a small innuendo like this, that Jews control not only CNN, but Time Warner, who owns CNN, and suddenly this is outrageous, this is anti-Semitic. And of course, Stewart, he can routinely mock or ridicule to any degree of derision Sanchez, and Sanchez has to take it. But if Sanchez turns to any degree and returns a mild criticism, calling him even a bigot, which is not... is pretty much what Stewart was calling him repeatedly, suddenly he's out on his ear.
It certainly is a double standard. And, this fear, this branding, as I call it, this scarlet letter of not to, and this is the other thing. I mean, I couldn't play the whole 7 to 10 minute segment, which I have up on my website, Ted, and people are welcome to go look at that and see the whole thing in context. They're also throwing in that the Jews run banks, too, which isn't something that Sanchez even said, but they threw that in there in order to kind of, muck up the conspiracy that somehow, because Jews control banks and because Jews control the media, that anyone who points that out is somehow, again, anti-Semitic, which I believe I heard you say, also means a whole nother race of people, including Muslims, including Arabs, and people who were born in the region. So who's anti-Semitic, and what does Semitic really mean? We've had the discussion on this show many, many times. But it makes it so that people are very afraid to point out the obvious. And if the obvious is, Ted, putting us as a people and challenging our freedoms and putting us under some kind of a fascism or tyrannical oppression, both economically and with the information, don't we have a right to say something about it? It wouldn't matter if we were talking about the Irish doing this. We would have to point it out and, of course, again, address what kind of possible agenda there might be here.
Well, certainly if the Mormons controlled the media, if the Catholics controlled the media, or the Irish owned and controlled the media, they would be fair game for the accusation that they were running a monopoly on vital information, literally having their finger on the spigot of information out of which great national discussions and decisions have to be made. That would be outrageous, and it would be permitted. Anyone except Jewish supremacists. You see, what's happening here is, especially in the last 2 years, with the Gaza bombardment, Operation Cast Lead, and then this travesty of the Israeli, botched Israeli attack on the flotilla last May 31st, the Jewish Zionist internationalists are very, very edgy because there's unprecedented worldwide criticism of Israel. And so the ADL and these Jewish watchdog organizations are extremely sensitive now to any emerging mild derision or criticism of Israel, especially coming from the largest media figures. And immediately they pounce on them. Immediately they say this is very, very hateful, hurtful, bigoted, anti-Semitic, all those smear terms. And then they force this particular politician or media leader or religious leader or whatever to grovel before them, forcing a confession out of them, to if they really didn't mean it, whether it's Oliver Stone or the one of the chief figures of the European Union, on and on and on. With all this criticism, it's inevitable that some media people, some public figures, let loose with a little bit of truth, maybe a little bit of righteous indignation, but the Jewish attack groups are there to try to bat them down, humiliate them, and make them a
right.
public example.
Which makes them the perfect... It makes them the perfect front group because they can't be criticized. I don't know if Presbyterians really own all this, and they put these guys in front because thanks to, you know, things like the Holocaust and World War II and everything else, you're not allowed to criticize them. I mean, if we had, you mentioned Mormons, you look and you see Mitt Romney with Bain owns Clear Channel and a number of media outlets, and then you've got Glenn Beckenstein, who's Benedict Arnold, who's, you know, also of the Mormon persuasion, you know, infiltrating the Tea Parties and taking over a good liberty movement that spawned out in this country out of righteous indignation that I thought was pretty justified. But you don't hear the criticisms, and that is because I just think that they're getting started here. And it's been so long. We're talking about decades and decades and decades of, I want to call it Jewish control, but when you look at all these people that we're talking about who are in question, they are dual citizens and Zionists. That's a whole different ball game from just being Jewish. We understand, I have many Jewish friends, I have some members of my family who married into Jews. They don't hate all Gentiles, okay? They're not radical like that, and they're not Zionist, and they'll be the first to criticize Israel when they do something wrong. I know you know people like that, but again, even having the discussion we're having on this show could I guess, hurt my credibility and offend listeners.
Well, on the other hand, times are changing. And just last month, the government of Israel called a special meeting, the highest level of the echelons of the government, including, I believe, their foreign minister, with the Greenberg Polling Service, which is an Israeli-endorsed polling service that took a poll of American citizens in the month after the flotilla attack. And what they found is that before the flotilla attack, 63% of Americans believed that we should support the Jewish state. But after the flotilla attack, a month later, on early July, they polled the same amount of people, and suddenly they found that 12% of the American people, roughly 37 million people, if this could be taken across the board, roughly approximately 37 million Americans made the choice to abandon support of Israel. They went from 63% down to 51%. And this was so disturbing to the state of Israel that they held a special meeting. And what we're seeing today is an extreme, a heightening nervousness and anxiety on the part of Israel, as literally virtually all the nations of the earth, except the United States, criticized roundly Israel's basically terrorist attack on the flotilla in May. So these are manifestations of a paranoia, of a nervousness and anxiety on the part of Zionist organizations to try to keep the lid on what is really an upheaval, not only...
Right. I know the best way to do that, and if anybody, you know, in the Zionist community is listening, Mr. Rothschild or whoever is doing this, why not try being cool? Why not stop killing people? You know, stop what you're doing, your aggressive behavior towards people and freedom, and maybe you'll look a little bit better.
Yes,
Lebanon,
absolutely.
2007, a total debacle. The Iranian saber rattling, and of course the flotilla massacre, which we're going to talk about in the second hour with our good friend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Our second hour coming up right up to the top of the hour news, Wrench Radio and Affiliates. Stay with us.
And now, please welcome Jack Blood.
We are locked and loaded for the Mockingbird propaganda war. Thank you for joining us, folks. Deadline Live, it's Monday, October 3rd, 2010. Great to have you with us. We're here for another hour. We're on the air Monday through Friday, 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock Central Time, p.m., 4 to 6 on the East Coast. All of our information is free to you. Just go to deadlinelive.info. You can get our podcast. You can sign up for our Twitter. You can go over to our Facebook and MySpace. Everything's free. Our editorial, exclusive stories that we post, deadlinelive.info. We always ask that you take a look at our sponsors. Please support them. We found some very good ones for you. Of course, enterfood.com, the best thing you can put in your body to counter all of the toxins that surround you so that you don't end up a casualty of the soft kill and the population of the planet. Very important to take care of yourself. About 50 cents a day for Enterfood, and you just take it every day, and you got that focus and the energy, and you're getting all those toxins out of your body. It is just really, really good stuff. For 4 years, they have been like-minded sponsors of this show. Enerfood, Enterfood.com. If you click through the Deadline Live banner, you'll get these special discounts that they've given just for you, our listeners and listeners of the networks you tune into. Also, our good friends at WholesaleDirectMetals.com. Gold is still holding above 1,300, and I think it's going up to 2,000. Get in. If you don't know who to trust, these are the people you trust. They've got a perfect record dealing with their customers and clients here in North America. I can't say that for almost anyone else. They are the good guys. WholesaleDirectMetals.com. You'll see a page over there dedicated to DeadlineLive.info, and you can make small buys for bullion or large buys, institutional buys. You need just please let them walk you through it and go check them out. Wholesale Direct Metals, all of our great sponsors at DeadlineLive.info. We really appreciate you. We want our listeners to appreciate you as well. The Reverend Ted Pike with us today. His, of course, National Prayer Network has been one of the good guys as well, Christian conservative watchdog organization. His website, Truth Tellers, and he does it, truthtellers.org. Ted, great to have you back with us here. I want to talk a little bit more about culture and entertainment. We opened the show talking about Mockingbird. And Mockingbird, as you know, the plan to take and control all media, both foreign and domestic. But it also doesn't have so much to do with just repeating the lies over and over and over again that they embed in the media. It's about mocking. It's about mocking those of us who love freedom, those of us who might be pro-life, for instance. Case in point, El Lushbo, Lush Limbaugh, America's largest radio host in more ways than one, was on Family Guy, a known liberal cartoon. I had to tell you, Ted, what this show was. You didn't even know what this show was. It shouldn't surprise you that Rush Limbaugh went right along with Seth MacFarlane and all these little jokes at the expense of the right, the conservative, and the Tea Party, or Tea Baggers, as Seth MacFarlane has said before. He's very establishment, big Obama supporter. Ted, I'm going to play for you a little bit of this. It's going to be shocking. Are you ready?
Yes.
No. Please don't put me through it. Here, just so my listeners know what we're talking about, here was from last night's episode of Family Guy, a good Rhode Island crazy family cartoon by Seth MacFarlane, starring Rush Limbaugh.
Books at the Quahog Mall.
Why is Limbaugh coming here? Don't they have bookstores at the Nazi fascist fat camp where he is a counselor?
I tell you what, Brian, if you want, we'll give you another crack at that.
We're trying to come up with an episode in which Brian reacts to the fact that he is no longer in the minority party.
This might be the best book I've ever read.
Whoever's in power, he has to be on the other side or he's not happy.
It's not a coincidence you turned your back on your democratic principles just when the Democrats became the political establishment. All you want is something to fight against.
We thought we would propose the idea of maybe doing a full episode in which Brian joins the Republican Party and is kind of guided by his new mentor, Rush Limbaugh, and we were thrilled to be answered with a yes.
Everybody has learned I'm doing it. Why are you doing Family Guy? Don't you understand what that show is?
Hey, listen, sister. I just...
I'm sorry.
Well, that's the fun of it. I was flattered to be invited. It's been nothing but fun all the way around. I mean, it's hilarious. We sing a song together.
Trees grow from Republican sod, and everyone prays to a proper right-wing god.
If you can't laugh at yourself, there's no reason to be alive.
Love the Hummer, Rush. How do you like it?
It is the best. I'm not saying you have to be gay to drive something else, but if you drive something else, you're probably a guy who likes to pleasure other men sexually. Well, it starts at a book signing, and Brian's groupie-like. And after a while, Brian decides, I'm too soft. And Brian turns into this really extreme, and I have to just divorce myself from it. Because he's making me, look
mainstream.
Hoity, you sound soft.
I think it'll surprise, but you know, our philosophy is the same. We want to not necessarily shock, but constantly surprise people.
The show is irreverent and makes fun of everybody.
What do you think? Come on, Pelosi's a monster, and she's addicted to crack. Come on, you're with me on this.
Of course she's addicted to crack, but you can't just say that. You got to lead people there with an intelligent argument so they arrive at it on their own.
So why not be part of it?
I learned so much about animation, too, that I had no idea, no understanding of. So it's been a worthwhile experience, mind-expanding on many levels.
Lois was right.
Right there. See, the fact that you would give a woman credit for anything, it means you're a liberal, Brian.
Okay, so they didn't play in this clip. You can't hear one of the most the weirder things I've heard on TV lately, and his lushness was talking about it on his radio show today, taking a lot of flack, Ted, because one of the things that came up, he was poking fun at the woman, the wife in this family, who you have to watch this cartoon to know that they bestiality jokes and gay babies. You just heard some of it. It's not something your children are going to watch here, and it's a cartoon, right, for adults. Poking fun at Lois's belief in global warming, saying that it makes her sound like a Jew. The whole thing was mocking, and here you've got, Ted, and I know you've seen this many times before. I saw it myself at the Democratic and Republican conventions. These so-called people on opposite sides like Seth MacFarlane and Rush Limbaugh, all part of the same establishment, working together to demonize people who might have a birther issue or, of course, the tea baggers, the tea parties out there, and really making conservatives not look very nice.
Uh-huh. Well, what we have to beware of is making caricatures or stereotypes. You know, the ADL is always warning against stereotyping particular groups, classes, federally protected groups, and so on. And the Tea Party people are already caricaturized, mocked enough, as like they did with the John Birch Society back in the 1960s. The whole conservative upheaval under Barry Goldwater and the John Birch Society was brought to nothing because of a few jokes like describing the John Birch people as little old ladies in tennis shoes. And that image of little old ladies in tennis shoes seeing a communist behind every bush, the simplicity and directness of those caricatures prejudiced an entire generation clear up in the time of the Reagan Revolution against Christian conservative values. So this is, he's playing around with this, and some of these people, you know, they go on Saturday Night Live and so on, but it is really out of line to mock our own, and especially mock people of conscience and conviction.
Well, and sure,
like
and somebody who's
people.
Considered to be a conservative spokesperson, we know what he really is, Ted, but this has a huge effect on the feeble-minded Kool-Aid drinkers of this country who want to believe this of Republicans and Tea Partiers, that they use words, you know, like a Jew because somebody believes in global warming, making that, again, sound like a bad thing when who's the anti-Semite here, again, if you want to, who's the bigot, who's the racist. Also, in another part of this little cartoon, they had a jaunt to a church devoted to Ronald Reagan to burn two abortion patients at the stake. Again, getting away from the real debate of murdering children in this country.
Yeah.
That's how all Republicans are. That's how you and me, that's how these mind-numbed down, dumbed down, Kool-Aid drinking Demopublicans, that's what they think of you and me and my listening audience.
Yeah, well, it sounds decadent to me. And this is a time where we should be devoted to high seriousness, grim reality, not playing games like this.
Ted Pike is with us, truthtellers.org. Let's come back, Ted, for one more segment. We'll talk about David Duke being censored off of YouTube and this whole flotilla thing in Israel, how that ended up. They did investigate themselves, folks, so I think we kind of know what happened. Stay with us. Well, that is the Reverend Courtney with us on the air today, my good friend, the Reverend Ted Pike. Do you reverends get together, Ted? Have you ever at a reverend convention gotten together with Reverend Horton Heat?
Well, the problem is that I'm kind of a lone wolf outside of the Reverend camp. I'm more like a gadfly that is constantly pricking their consciences and telling them to get their heads out of the sand and realize that they're under tremendous, tremendous attack. As Rabbi Lapin said, the evangelicals are under relentless attack by ADL and Jewish supremacists. And unfortunately, these reverend brethren of mine are all fawning after Israel and leading their flocks over the precipice, I'm afraid.
Hmm. I think the Reverend Horton Heat would agree with you. You might, we'll see if we can get you guys together. Well, first of all, I don't know if you heard the little bumper exchange we had there. That was another Seth MacFarlane-created show, The Cleveland Show, which is a spinoff from Family Guy, talking about how he's stressed. He shot a guy in the audience. And by the way, 9/11 was an inside job, another attempt at smearing people who might not believe everything the government tells us about 9/11. Stop with the cartoons and all of it. All right, let's talk about, this is something you sent me a press release on here a couple of days back. David Duke, his YouTube channel was pulled, I guess, for his ideas, which aren't in the mainstream. Kind of shows what YouTube is all about, right? And though I don't agree with a lot of things that David Duke says, I put Matt Hale on the radio. I had the National Alliance on the radio. That caused me a lot of pain and grief, Ted, over the years when I was running radio stations. But I have to stick up for these people, and I think they have a right to say whatever they want. Now, YouTube is a private company. I guess, it's not really censorship, is it, if they're owned by private individuals who maybe don't want this representing their company? Is that where we're at, or is this just blatant censorship and undue pressure on YouTube to get David Duke and his channel off YouTube?
Well, the main force that is putting overwhelming pressure on YouTube is the Jewish Internet Task Force. I wrote an email probably 6 months ago about a new development. As Israel is losing the public relations war in the world, and so many nations and individuals and organizations are now critical of Israel, what Israel is doing, I'm talking about the state of Israel, is actively organizing literally hundreds of thousands of Jews worldwide into this organization, the Jewish Internet Task Force, and other groups, and they call themselves Jewish cyber warriors. And their whole job is to skew polls about Israel, to provide disproportionate input and plaque against their critics of Israel and so on. In other words, they've just become a cyber warriors doing every they can to jam chat rooms, to do anything necessary to stop the rampant criticism and righteous indignation against Israel on the World Wide Web. And in a recent alert just as several days ago, the JITA, the Jewish Internet Task Force, which claims it has 270,000 people involved, Jews involved in its organization, claims that after months of bombarding YouTube with thousands of emails critical of David Duke's videos, YouTube finally capitulated and put him off. And what I'm saying is I'm launching a counter campaign here with my latest report, which people can actually read. It just came out last night. Read it at truthtellers.org. This will give you the details. It will give you the email address to get in touch with YouTube. I'm demanding that Duke be put on. Obviously, I don't agree with everything he says either. But on the other hand, we have to realize that unless people are involved in active libel or slander or threatening violence to other people, then they certainly have a right to speak. And I have listened to several of Duke's videos, and I can't speak for all of them, but these videos, which are now banned on YouTube, I found to be logical and straightforward, documented. I couldn't find anything racist about them or anti-Semitic about them. That's not an endorsement of Duke, but it is it's a statement that if we don't watch out, if these big internet providers like Google and YouTube and so on get involved with censorship, whether in China for the benefit of the Chinese regime or for Israel for the benefit of Jewish activists who are hounding them, then we better watch out, because And truth could be the first
they come. But first they come for the David Dukes of the world, the people who are easy to smear that aren't going to have a lot of defenders, and then they work their way up, and the next thing it's you and me, Ted. And,
oh, absolutely. And I pointed out in this article, that when the ADL convinced the government of Canada back in 1971 to pass its hate law, they first targeted racists, they targeted blatant anti-Semites or Holocaust deniers and so on. So on, knowing that those groups of people would have the least basis of support from the people of Canada, least sympathy. But around the turn of the century, they very boldly began to broaden out to Christians, the conservatives, Christian schools, pastors, pro-life people, and so on, with indictments and harassment of them. And it is only predictable and that it will broaden to include Christian evangelism and right-wing people in the mainstream. And so I'm telling everybody that even if we have disagreements with Duke on a number of issues, nevertheless, we have to protect the freedom of speech of one person, because if we allow their freedom
That's
of
right.
speech to be a casualty, then we all will suffer.
Well said, Ted. I got a couple more questions. Any way I can keep you for a few more minutes on the other side of the break?
Sure.
Great. Ted Pike with us, truthtellers.org. We'll be right back, folks. Rents Radio, I'm Jack Blood, your radio gun. Stay tuned. Now, our good friend, the Reverend Ted Pike with us, the National Prayer Network, truthtellers.org. Ted, how do people support you? How do they find you? And what information do they need right now?
Well, the place to go is truthtellers.org. We are the largest and most outspoken website, particularly militating against hate crimes laws, the whole idea of censorship endorsed by government. We're also probably the primary antagonist to the Anti-Defamation League and other of these Jewish pit bull groups that are militating against freedom. Just come to truthtellers.org. As you mentioned, you can sign up for our, we usually have two or even three e-alerts that are on the cutting edge of world events and legislative threats. We have those coming out. You can get those by just signing up in the upper left-hand corner of the homepage at truthtellers.org. We also have videos, my best-selling book, Israel, Our Duty, Our Dilemma, and literally hundreds and hundreds of articles there in our archives. You can scroll back a wealth of educational material.
All right. Ted, I'm not a self-prescribed religious person or any of this, but I really enjoy a lot of the work that you do, and it can translate to everybody of any faith and any persuasion. So I thank you again for all the work you do. Truthtellers.org, folks, and get involved over there and help these guys to stay locked and loaded. Speaking of locked and loaded, I'm going to put you under the gun here, Ted. This is what we do on this show. I'm the radio gun, and I ask you questions, and we get some quick comments for you. I got a bunch of things I want to get to. So you ready to play?
Sure.
Under the gun with the Reverend Ted Bunch. All right. That's going to get the ADL's attention right there. You see, they're violent. No, it's just a bit we do on the radio. Let's start with the flotilla massacre. You know, a lot of our friends were on those boats. Ed Peck, who's on the show, a lot of them leftist, actually. They come from a more left-leaning persuasion. But I thought it was pretty brave what they did, and I thought it had a great effect. It really put the microscope on Israel and showed, you know, the kind of tactics that they use. The United Nations, as you are reporting, Ted, we're going to post this on my website here at the end of the day, United Nations did a report on the flotilla raid, which is blistering Israel. They had found that they massacred all those people, and Israel did a report on themselves. It didn't find that. They were under threat, and these people were all terrorists. But again, like I said, I know some of the people. They certainly weren't terrorists, and this was they were bludgeoned beyond compare. Talk about that, though. 112 survivors forbidden by Israel from questioning of any of its commandos. They come out with this report. Not very good for Israel.
That's right. This was a public disaster of unprecedented proportions for Israel. As I mentioned earlier on the program, and now roughly half of the American people, according to an Israeli-endorsed poll, have given up support of the Jewish state. And we've all been waiting literally for months for the final definitive report by the United Nations Human Rights Council. And it finally came out just last week, a 56-page report, as I said, blistering against Israel, indicting it with even more condemnatory accusations and documentations that it really was a terrorist raid, especially on the Mavi Marmara, the largest ship of the flotilla. And I'm glad you're putting up that report because it's very lively reading. And what I've done is I've edited it down to about maybe 20, 25 pages of the most gripping, fast-moving documentary, starting with the original attack, the approach of the ships against the Mavi Marmara, the actual machine gunning from the helicopters once the Israelis perceived resistance on board the deck. It just goes on and on, very light. You can't put it down once you start reading this UN report. It's the complete opposite of a stereotype of a dry government report. Very, very active reading, and vital that it get out to as many patriots as possible.
The United Nations, I guess they would be considered anti-Semitic now, but the United Nations funded by the same people that funded Israel. So, A, what do you make of that? And, B, what will be the fallout from this report?
Well, it is true that the United Nations was founded in 1946, I believe, by conspiratorial forces, one-world forces. But the fact is they have brought in some 57 Muslim nations into the United Nations, particularly in the Human Rights Council. And there's a very great deal of leverage and sentiment by these nations against the terrible treatment against their compatriots in Palestine, the displaced Palestinians. And there's a long memory literally going back to the early or late 1940s of how Israel did violently drive out nearly 800,000 Palestinians from their farms and orchards and businesses and sent them off into these concentration camps in Gaza and the West Bank and Lebanon and so on. So this huge influence in the United Nations has resulted in giving, I believe, the United Nations a real conscience.
They were forced. They were forced to do it, though, weren't they, Ted? Under the auspices of that, you cannot get that glaring eye away from this flotilla massacre and the events in Lebanon, the events in Palestine. They are forced to go up against Israel because if they don't, they will certainly be thrown over with them. I think that's kind of part of this. Let me go to another quick question here. This will go right into the peace talks that Obama says he's going to do. He's the new Jimmy Carter. He's got the Trilateral Commission firmly behind him, so I'll agree with that. As soon as they start the peace talks, the bottle rockets start coming into Israel, and then the killing starts all over again. Every time you say peace to somebody like Bibi Netanyahu, he hears this is a good excuse to start killing people again. Your opinion on these peace talks, if they've got any teeth, if we'll ever have peace between Palestine, who should have their own state, and Israel, and peace in the Middle East in general, the futility of peace talks and bottle rockets.
Well, if you listen to statements by some of the founders of Israel, such as David Ben-Gurion or Golden Meir or Menachem Begin, on and on, they always have said through Israel's history, we will never allow a separate, independent Palestinian state. And we will do everything we can to displace the Arabs through any way we can. So, starting in 1917, they were talking about a two-state solution there under the Balfour Declaration.
Yeah.
Certainly under the 1948 United Nations mandate, you're going to have a two-state solution. On and on and on it goes. And Israel only procrastinates and obfuscates, continually making this an impossibility. It's always predictable that when the peace talks
come up. Do you believe that they're shooting bottle rockets at themselves with their clandestine Mossad
people? The Israelis have written the book on being agents provocateur of creating distracting incidents, blaming them upon the enemy, but actually involved, even to the point
by
of killing their own people.
By deception, we will
to
do war. Yes,
yeah.
Their motto. Quickly, I got about 10 seconds. The Mosque Quran debate, all of that, sponsored by
the ADL is now lining up with the mosque builders, with the Muslims, because it makes the Christian conservatives into bigots and in other words, potential hate criminals, because under ADL hate laws in Canada, France, Holland, Australia, and so on, Christian conservatives are being actually indicted in cooperation with the Muslim Council's criticism of Islam.
Ted Pike, I got to get you out of here. Truthtellers.org. Go check them out and support them. Thank you, Ted, for all your time today. We'll talk to you again real soon. Folks, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.